Your name is great and your heart is kind. For all your goodness I will keep on singing. 10,000 reasons for my heart to find. So bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul. Worship His holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul, I worship His holy name. And on that day when my strength is failing, the end draws near and my time has come, still my soul will sing your praise unending. 10,000 years and then forevermore. So bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul. Worship His holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul, I worship His holy name. I worship Your holy name. I worship Your holy name.
Forever. You know what? that's exactly what we're going to be doing. Huh? Isn't that cool? We're going to be singing forever of His love. Amen. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchased of God. Washed in His Spirit, washed in His blood free. This is my story. This is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, perfect delight. Visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Angels descending bring from above echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior. Praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I in my Savior am happy and blessed. Watching and waiting, looking above, filled with His goodness, lost in His love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day. Wanted to act up, didn't it, Billiam? But it didn't last, did it, Billiam? No.
We
thou, O Lord, art high above all the earth. The earth, thou art exalted, far above all God. For thou, O Lord, art high above all the earth. Thou art exalted far above all God. And we exalt thee, we exalt thee, we
Lord, once again, we thank you for this day. Lord, I thank you for your sweet presence here. I thank you, Lord, for the love that you're pouring out on your people. Lord, just open your word for us, please, and just help us to receive and understand what you have for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Good morning again. We're going to do something a little different. This is something that's done in other churches. Doesn't mean we're going to do it ever again. But it's called responsive reading. Turn to Psalm 136. You can keep your place in Ephesians there if you want. How this works is I'm going to read the first part of the verse, and you're going to either read it or recite it back to me. I don't know why. I just felt like we were supposed to do this. everybody there? Your part is really simple. It's the same thing over and over. I'll say the first part of the verse, and you say, "For his mercy endureth forever." Starting in verse 1. Give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. O give thanks unto the God of gods. O give thanks to the Lord of lords. To him who alone doeth great wonders. To him that by wisdom made the heavens. To him that stretched out the earth above the waters. To him that made great lights. The sun to rule by day. The moon and stars to rule by night. To him that smote Egypt and their firstborn. And brought out Israel from among them. With a strong hand and with a stretched out arm. To him which divided the Red Sea into parts. And made Israel to pass through the midst of it. But overthrew Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea. To him which led his people through the wilderness. To him which smote great kings. And slew famous kings. Sihon, king of the Amorites. And Og, the king of Bashan. And gave their land for a heritage. Even a heritage unto Israel, his servant. Who remembered us in our low estate. And hath redeemed us from our enemies. Who giveth food to all flesh. O give thanks unto the God of heaven. Happy Thanksgiving. It's still Thanksgiving, isn't it? I think it's Thanksgiving until as long as we have turkey left, right? Is that how it works? Yeah, some people wonder if we have a need for Thanksgiving. It's supposed to be Thanksgiving every day, isn't it? Yet I think that we need that once a year to kind of recharge things. Maybe if we didn't have it, maybe we would forget about Thanksgiving. You know, I was living in Oregon several years ago. I lived there for about 22 years. And I was living alone, and I had a travel trailer I lived in, which wasn't in the best of conditions. You know, I got to experience all the elements. And it was Thanksgiving, and I decided I was going to cook Thanksgiving dinner, and I was going to have the whole thing. I was going to have everything that I possibly could, you know, from a traditional Thanksgiving, and I did. I cooked it, and I set it on the table. And for the longest time, I just stood there and looked at it. Can we overdo it? Thanksgiving? Yeah. But yet God instituted feasts, didn't he? One of the feasts that he instituted was Passover. And during this Passover celebration, the ceremony, it's called the Seder. There's another recitation that they do. It's called Dayanu, which is Hebrew. It means it would have been enough. And I'm going to read this. I'm not going to ask you to repeat it. I'm not going to do that again. I'm going to read the recitation. As Israel sang to Adonai for saving them from the Egyptians, Exodus 15, 1 and 2, then Moses and the people of Israel sang this song to Adonai. I will sing to Adonai, for he is highly exalted. The horse and his rider he threw in the sea. Yah is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. This is my God, I will glorify him. My father's God, I will exalt him. How great is Adonai's goodness to us, for each of his acts of mercy and kindness we declare Dayanu, which means it would have been enough. It would have been sufficient. If that's all he did, it would have been enough. It goes on, if Adonai had merely rescued us but not judged the Egyptians, Dayanu, it would have been enough. If he had only destroyed their gods but not parted the Red Sea, Dayanu, it would have been enough. If he had only drowned our enemies but not provided us with manna in the desert, Dayanu, it would have been enough. If he had only led us through the desert but not given us Shabbat, Dayanu, it would have been enough. If he had given us Shabbat but had not brought us near to him at Mount Sinai, Dayanu, it would have been enough. Had he brought us near to him at Mount Sinai but not given us Torah, Dayanu, it would have been enough. Had he given us Torah and not brought us into the land of Israel, Dayanu, it would have been enough. Had he only given us Messiah, Dayanu, it would have been enough. Had he only given us his Ruach HaKadosh, his Holy Spirit, Dayanu, it would have been enough. Dayanu is a reminder to never forget all the miracles in our lives. When we stand and wait impatiently for the next one to appear, we are missing the whole point of life. Why is what he did for Israel important to us? Because it attests to his faithfulness. It tells us that he will do what he says he will do. He will do as he wills and as he wants to do, and he will do what we need. You know, we had a blessing from the Salvation Army for our Thanksgiving dinner. We do every year. But this year, apparently, they had an increase in their budget. And we were expecting, you know, they gave us a list of things we needed, and we provided it for them. And we were expecting, you know, so much. Wayne went to pick it up in his car, and he had to call Ivan to bring his truck. Because it was a lot. It was much more than we expected. Kind of reminds me of God, because he does that too, doesn't he? The incident with the bread. And I found it interesting thinking about it that he waited for the freezer to be empty before he provided the bread. That, there's kind of a lesson in there, isn't there? Maybe we need to get rid of the stale stuff in order for God to bring in the fresh, the new. When the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness, God fed them. You imagine how much food that took every day? How many railroad cars of food? How many tanker trucks full of water? But God did it. He provided more than they needed. When Jesus fed the multitude with just a couple fish and a few loaves of bread, they took up 12 baskets of food after they were through eating. More than enough. It's about God's abundance. What God provides. Our God is an abundant God. Philippians 4:19 says, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Our God is an abundant God. Going to look at some of his attributes. I can't list all of his attributes, so I'm listing a few of them. Psalm 90 verse 2 says, from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. God is infinite, so that means that his attributes are also infinite. We can't measure it. There's no limit. There's no boundaries. All his attributes. God's omnipotence, his unlimited power. How unlimited is his power? It knows no boundaries. You know, an example that I could use would be the heavens. If we had the world's most powerful telescope and we looked up in the heavens, what do we see? Stars. Would it be possible to find a telescope that would be so powerful that you could see where the stars end? I don't think so. Because I think God would know what we were doing and he'd just put more stars there. Ephesians 3:20 says he is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask or think. Not just what we ask for, but even beyond anything we can imagine. When Moses was commissioned by God to go get his people, he asked them, what's your name? Who do I say sent me? And God said, I am. He's the all-sufficient one. He's everything he needs to be. He's everything we need him to be. And even more than that. He can create. He can destroy. At the word of his mouth, he created the heavens and the earth. And he can get rid of them just as fast, can't he? He spoke the heavens and earth into existence. By his will, it was there. Somebody talked about losing their keys this morning. Has God ever lost anything? There's been times when people I know have been looking for their glasses and they're right there sitting on top of their head. You know, God doesn't lose his car keys. He doesn't lose his glasses. He doesn't lose anything. John 10:28-29, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. That should be reassuring to us, and it is. Another attribute is God's omniscience. An eagle has incredible eyesight. It can stare at the sun and then turn right around and look at the earth and see a field mouse, a little tiny mouse, just hiding in the bushes. It can see a small fish in the sea. But that doesn't compare with God's ability to see. He can see each one of us. He can see each one of you. He doesn't just see you, note that you're there, but he focuses on you. And at the same time, all his focus is on you. It's also on the person sitting next to you. It's on the person down the street. He's able to focus on everybody the same way all at once. And if that's not enough, when he focuses on you, he not only sees you here now, he sees you wherever you are a month from now, a year from now, 10 years from now. At the same time, he's focusing on you now. And not just you, but everybody else. Isn't that amazing? God's omnipresence. Psalm 139, 7 through 10 says, "Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me." I love that. Even there, your hand will lead me, and your right hand will hold me. There's another verse in Isaiah 52:12 that's like it, where it says, God will go before us, and he brings up our rear guard. He has us totally surrounded. He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask or think. How about God's understanding? Romans 11:33, "Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgment and his ways past finding out." We can't begin to comprehend the thoughts of God. "My thoughts, my plans are so much higher than you, than the earth, than the heaven is from the earth," he says in Isaiah. God's grace. How much grace has God used on you? That seems to be the general consensus, doesn't it? Now imagine all the grace he's used on everybody. How much does he have left? It can't be exhausted, can it? 2 Corinthians 12:9, "He said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee." We don't need to worry about how much grace God has left, because whatever it is, it's going to be sufficient for us. And I don't think his gauge is ever going to go past full. Romans 5:20, "Where sin abounded, grace did much more abound." Whatever your sin, the grace was there to forgive it. And it's still there. Isaiah 55:7, "Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." Abundantly pardon. That literally means ever increasing amounts each time we come. You know, there's a danger, I think, of people. They pray and they ask for forgiveness, and then they turn around and do the same thing. They pray and they ask for forgiveness, and after a while, they give up. They think, what's the point? But God doesn't see it that way. Because every time we come to him, it's the first time. Because he doesn't remember our sins. When we ask for forgiveness, he forgives and he forgets. Ephesians 1, 3 through 8, you knew I'd get there eventually, didn't you? "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us into the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence." He has abounded all those things to us. That literally means he has lavished them on us. Our God is not a miser. In all wisdom and prudence, it says, in all knowledge, and prudence is carefully considered, well thought out, or well planned. If he'd only saved us from our sins and forgiven our sins, it would have been enough. But he did much more than that, didn't he? He chose us. He predestined us. He called us. He justified us. He sanctified us. He adopted us. He accepted us. He redeemed us. And he forgave us. What does that mean to be forgiven? Forgiveness of our sins and the blessings and the privileges that come with it. It's more than just having your sins forgiven. It's also knowing it and rejoicing it and enjoying it. What does that mean? What does that allow us to do? It gives us peace in our conscience. It gives us access to God. No fear of death and hell. No fear of the future. And an expectancy of heaven. You see, God's abundance isn't going to end when this life ends. It's going to continue in heaven. Titus 1:2, in hope, that's a noun, by the way, it's not a verb. It's not something you do, it's something you have. In hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. Can we even begin to imagine the abundance of heaven? 1 Corinthians 2:9 says, but as it is written, eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, nor hath entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those that love him. Do you love the Lord today? Yeah. Micah 7:18, who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He retaineth not his anger forever, because he delights in mercy. As one commentator said, who is a God like unto thee for the riches of thy love? God's love. The final attribute that I'm going to talk about. Jesus said, greater love hath no man but that he lay down his life for his friends. We actually had that up on the board today, on the overhead. You know, of course, he's talking about his life that he laid down for us, isn't he? But it's also an example of that we should be willing to do it too. Greater love. It says in Romans chapter 5 that while we're without strength, he loved us. Without the ability to do the things that we're supposed to do. It also says while we're still sinners. He didn't wait for us to clean up our act and come to him. He loved us before we were born. Jeremiah 31:3, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Everlasting. He knew you before you were formed in the womb. Romans 8:38 and 39, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's an amazing passage, isn't it? So, what do you have to be thankful for? The abundance of God. What's the best way to thank him? To love him? To live our lives for him? Obey him? Honor him? And also, as he's done for us, as he continues to do for us, we should also do that for others, shouldn't we? Lord, we can't begin to imagine just how awesome you are. We're going to spend eternity just in awe of you, amazed by who and what you are. We thank you, Lord, that you've given us a little glimpse of you and how things are and how things will be. Lord, I don't believe that we could handle it if you gave us all of it at once. But we thank you, Lord, for your love. We thank you for your grace. We thank you, Lord, for everything you are. And we thank you, Lord, for what you're making us into. Because you're molding us and you're shaping us and you're turning us into what you want us to be. And Lord, we freely accept that. In fact, we ask for it. Do your work in us, Lord. Lord, I thank you for your word today. I thank you for your presence here. And I thank you, Lord, for everyone that came to hear what you had to say. I pray that you'd go with us all as we go about our day, and I pray that you'd bring us back safe tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you all for coming. That concludes our service today. We'll see you tonight.